Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, February the 9th in the year of our Lord 2017. And that means we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How are you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Tom?
I'm all right. I tell you, the weather is very nice out here. And it's going to be in the 60s again, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. So church attendance, you know, without winter snow like they're having on the East Coast should be pretty good.
Yeah, well, we got anywhere from 1 to 3 up in our area.
Oh, you got that much snow?
Yeah, we got at least 1 inch here in Springfield, but to the north of us, I heard up to 3 inches.
Oh, wow. Yeah, on the East Coast, around 10 inches. But that's why we have what's called the Lord's Prayer. We worked on that a little bit yesterday, and I said we'd continue it today with you also speaking about some things. We had done a couple of or three petitions. On the Lord's Prayer, do you have any insights that you want to do before we get to Thy Will Be Done?
Well, if I remember right, you said yesterday if there were questions to ask of you. So I came up with about 5 or 6 areas here.
Oh, go.
Well, your first one, I thought was a good comment that you made on how we pray, you know, that we communicate with God. Never had thought about it in terms of that. But just when we're going down the street, we see an accident or something like that, we do these short prayers, or we're in a tough situation, and we do these prayers without even thinking.
Right.
I think also what came to mind is, isn't there the scripture passage that says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us continually?
Yeah, you're talking about in Romans where it says we do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, and I like to say refashions them so that they are a perfect prayer when they reach the right hand of God at God the Father's place.
Yeah, I love that. That's great, refashions. The second thing that I brought to mind was the millions and billions of prayers that are received by God. You know, it kind of, the flip side of that, which you kind of didn't get into, is those that pray to the saints, pray to Mary, because God's too busy to hear all our prayers.
Yes.
And that becomes a bit of a problem, doesn't it?
Well, two things. They pray to Mary, a lot of them, because they feel they're not worthy enough to go directly to God the Father, even through Jesus Christ. And it's a matter of respect, then, they think. It's kind of like if you wanted to see the president, you might know his daughter or one of his sons, and therefore you talk to them and they get you in. But the other thing, and I think that's the point you're making, with the thousands of prayers that are occurring every second, Mary would have to have the attributes of God to hear and reply to them, and nor in the Bible does she.
Right. Well, it's kind of back to that old question, is can God make a stone too big that he can't move?
How's that work?
Well, you know, they try to trick you into thinking that God, if God can make a stone that big, obviously he can move it. But, you know, it's the atheist that says, gee, Manetla, you know, can he make a stone that he can't move or create?
Yeah, because a lot of people think God can do anything, and the answer is he cannot. He cannot send a Christian to hell, for example. Mm. And the things he can't do is because he's made promises and therefore limits himself. It's not that he's not almighty anymore, but that he's used his might to make a promise, and therefore there are things that he cannot do. For example, he cannot take away the benefits of the cross of his son, Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah. And yeah, I've got that down there, God's promises for believers. That came through loud and clear. But, you know, another thing that came, you know, he ignores the prayer of the unbeliever. What about these, I don't want to use the term interfaith, that's kind of a secular term out there, that there's interfaith groups, but rather the interreligious groups that meet together for, quote, a national day of prayer. In the middle of that, these prayer services that they're having is the Christian prayer, the Baha'i, the Muslim, the
right.
Hindu. You know, are those prayers heard?
They're heard, but they're ignored.
Including the Christian?
No, the Christian prayer, he's already made promises. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. But that's never said about prayers of unbelievers. There are no promises attached to prayers of unbelievers. God may hear them, but, for example, an unbeliever may pray to Allah that he'll have good crops. Well, if the rain comes and he does have good crops, he can thank the Christians in the area who also were praying for that, because God doesn't stop the rain from hitting the ground at the edge of someone else's property. It rains on the good and the bad.
Now, I would agree with you on that, but why is it then that we say to our pastors, don't go to an inter-prayer service like that or inter-religious prayer service?
Yeah, if it's a worship service, that's called unionism. If it's a kind of thing, let's say you have a disaster in town, and therefore the various religious groups are going to say what they think about that, I wouldn't have a problem going to that, because it would probably be the last time I was invited, since I would really strongly show that only those in Christ have their prayers answered and always answered to their good. And whatever the tragedy that occurred, I would have an understanding of it that those who worship false gods would be pretty angry at me. Jesus would not be asked to pray at those things more than once.
Well, the other one was where and when to pray. I thought it was quite striking that, you know, as you were talking about that, we can pray just about anywhere, anytime.
Yes.
And yet you get into these various religions where certain times of the day you have to sit down and pray, and it's commanded that you got to do it. You got to stop whatever you're doing and pray facing a certain direction and in a certain building or a certain wall.
Well, what is it in Islam, five times a day? Is that not correct?
It's several times a day, yeah.
So
prayer rug and...
Yeah, and they think that they're getting on God's good side doing that. We never pray in order to get God to like us, love us, and save us, because we already have been liked, loved, and saved because of the death of Jesus Christ. So our prayers, and this is an important one with the Lord's Prayer, there's not a petition here that we are praying that we already haven't received what we're praying for. So the prayer is more for us than it is for God, as an acknowledgement that all of these things we're getting, His will being done in our life, the forgiveness of sins, daily bread, what we're praying is reminding us from whom, where is the source of all these benefits, and the prayer is kind of a confession that the Holy Trinity alone provides these benefits to me.
Very good. The other one was heaven on earth, you know, the Holy Christian Church.
Yes.
You know, we're already, quote, in heaven as believers. Is that the same as... you often use that passage, Ephesians chapter 2, right around verse 6, where it talks about that we're seated in the heavenly places.
Yes, the heavenly places. Right now, if you take a look, we've already ascended into heaven in Christ, because we're part of the body of the church, and Jesus is the head, and where the head is, so is the body. So when we pray, Jesus... and the Holy Spirit takes those prayers, refashions them, so they are perfect when they reach the throne of God the Father. So we should never hesitate to pray for anything, because God is going to take that prayer and make it appropriate.
And doesn't that also kind of, you talked about it later, about work righteousness, there's no need for us as believers to work our way to heaven, because we're already there.
Yeah,
right?
And just like there's no way for a child to work to become a child of his parents.
Yeah, very good.
He's already there.
Yeah, the last one was that kingdom come when you talked about government, church, and glory.
Yes.
You know, through the word and sacrament, or we have that relationship with God, and you talk about church. And I had down on my notes, what about going to church? You know, we always have those people who say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
They are absolutely correct.
Well,
you don't have to do anything to be a Christian.
Right.
But that's like saying, I don't have to go home at Christmas to see mom or dad. Well, of course not. But who wouldn't want to if there's love there? And especially at Christmas time, boy, when I went home, all those special Christmas cookies and such, you know. So somebody who says, I don't have to go home at Christmas, that's saying something more than I think they intend. They're saying, yeah, I don't care for my parents that much. I don't have to go home. I can still be their child. I can still be if they die, I can still get money from them and stuff like that. That just has a sad attitude, because church is where God talks to you. And yes, you can hear him listening to KFUO or reading the Bible yourself. But to say you don't have to go to church with the idea that that isn't necessary in my life, that's absolutely wrong. It's necessary that we go to church because we get more comforted by the word of God, but we don't have to go to church in order to be saved, because that would be being saved by a good work.
Very good. You got them all.
All righty. So let's move on to the next one. Thy will be done on earth. My first question. Now, see, I have a set of questions that are not in the small catechism of Luther, or I should say the what's called the Enchiridion, which are a whole set of questions made up since Luther's death. This one here is God's will done even when we don't pray?
Of course it is.
Yes. But a lot of people don't think it is. They'll say, well, I didn't have a good day because I forgot to pray or whatever. And that's wrong. You are a child of God. And that's like saying, is the will of my parents for me still accomplished even though I don't ask them? Well, for example, I can't remember the last time I asked my parents when they were living, can I have food tonight? I just knew it was going to be there. So their will was done. It was prepared. And I didn't have to ask ahead of time. But we always started the meal with a thank you to Jesus, because we wanted to make the point that all this comes from Jesus.
Right. And initially, as you talked about that, I had to do something in order to make it pleasing towards God. And it's already been done pleasing towards God through Christ, who died and suffered and died for us.
Yes. My next question was, what three things are opposed to the will of God?
Yeah, there's the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature.
Yes, I did that Tuesday night, and I said the devil, the world, and the flesh. And one of the confirmants says, my flesh. How does that cause me to sin? And then we had to explain that the flesh that Paul uses in Romans 7, remember he makes a distinction between the new man and the old Adam. And the old Adam he refers to as, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And therefore, when he sins, it is sin within me doing the sin within my flesh. And Romans 8 makes a big distinction between those who live in the flesh do not have any trust, in contrast to those who live in the spirit. And so by living in the spirit doesn't mean we stop from sinning, but it means we are now repentant for our sin.
Right. And isn't there also in Romans where he says the good that I would that I should, I don't do in the
right. Romans 7,
evil.
Yes.
Yeah, very evil. I don't want to do, I end up doing.
And so he says, who's going to deliver me? And the very first verse in Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right. Yeah, very good.
All right. Then we move to the Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And here was a question I had. What six items are needed to put a slice of bread on our table?
What six items?
Yes.
Okay. Are you talking physically or spiritually? Or?
No, physically.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, what I did is I divided the class up into teams, and they went to different blackboards. And the one team wrote down 85 items, and the other one wrote 67, and I did not permit them to have the same items. So what am I talking about? Well, the obvious ones are seed, ground, good weather, no war, rain, just to make the seed. But we got into all kinds of things. For example, rubber. How does rubber need it? Well, trucks drive. In fact, I was at Dollar Tree yesterday, and I saw the actual truck that brings their bread for a dollar, a loaf.
Or a tractor.
Oh, and then once we got into that, you have to have transmissions, you have to have oil, you have to have gas. It was really easy, and I did that because if you take a look at what Luther says in Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, he names a lot of these things, good government, good weather, and such like that. And so once you start, I was trying to impress on the kids that it's not just their parents buying a loaf of bread, but all these things had to come into play, and that's why recently when they were having a flood in some cities or a tornado was coming, what shelves became empty really quickly is the grocery shelves. So that was the point, and all of them easily got six because they had been in that contest trying to figure out everything that was needed to put a loaf of bread on your table.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, when you look at it that way, too, up there at Havana, there, St. Paul's, they're just finishing up their food drive.
Oh, yeah.
The youth are having their food drive for the local food pantry.
Right.
To provide for the daily needs of those that are less fortunate.
Yes. Now, this one they didn't get right away, this next question. Why does God or Jesus include the word daily? Because if you look at the text, it's there twice. Give us this day our daily bread.
Daily bread.
Now, that's a one that I came up with, is that by saying that, he's therefore promising that you will receive daily bread and that you're asking, therefore, that you do receive the benefit of that daily bread. And we remember, daily bread just doesn't mean bread. Have you ever been walking down the street and somebody comes up to you and they need some help and they say, have you got any bread on you? Well, they wouldn't appreciate if you pulled out a slice of bread from the pocket because they're using the word bread to refer to money.
Money, yes. Yeah, well, and it's not only that. Many of the ministerial associations in various cities set up a fund to help with rent,
yes,
electricity or water,
right,
for the home.
That's right, because it's kind of interesting during the season of winter, even Laclede Gas has opportunity for people to have their bill paid under certain circumstances. You just have to work with them and explain what's going on, and they'll not turn off your gas then.
Well, what I noticed too, because I was reading in there in the large catechism on there, it includes civil or political affairs that we go, and isn't it so often in our prayers on Sunday morning in our general prayer, we pray for good government.
Exactly. I did that last week. I use the Pastor Weed in general prayer that is found on the computer. You just go to lcms.org and then look under worship and then the prayer for the day. And then as I was telling him, oh, he's got about six paragraphs, some of them praying for people who are sick, but I'll often change his paragraph to fit more the sermon I'm actually preaching.
Right. Well, yeah, those are general prayers that he offers. I use that too, and I agree with you. You have to change it to kind of fit what you're preaching about, but I always try to include our government, you know, whether it was under Obama, whether it's Trump, whether it's, you know, state government or local government, you know, that the Lord would take care of them and provide us with good leadership.
Well, that's what Romans 13 asks us to do. Anybody can look that up. It talks about taxes and that the government is instituted by God, etc. Okay, next question. If we're going to get daily bread because he's promised it, why are we praying for it?
Well, he's always asking us to pray. He commands us to pray, first of all.
Yeah, that's the first reason. The other reason, the Lord's Prayer isn't for God. It's for me. To remind me the source of my daily bread. You know, I mean, how many movies do you see where people sit down to eat and immediately they just start eating? There's no prayer or anything. There's no recognition from whom this food comes from. And so the Lord's Prayer, since most of the petitions are already met by God, is really to help us understand that God is the source. And so by praying to him, it's kind of like sometimes you go out to a house to have a meal. I'm sure you always, at the end of the meal, say, you know, thank you for this wonderful meal.
Mm.
And they don't have to have the thank you, you know, or you don't have to say it to them in order to get the meal. It's usually said after the meal as a recognition of the benefits that you receive by visiting them.
Right. And isn't this what we call one of the physical petitions that we deal with? In of the seven, this is the physical one, and it sits right in the middle of the spiritual petitions that we're praying.
Well, it depends, because there's a couple of commentaries put out by Concordia Publishing House by professors, and some would refer to this daily bread as also including the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
I'm not sold on that yet. Because we don't have it daily, you know, give us this day our daily bread.
Well,
might have it twice a week if you have Lenten and Sunday services or something.
Well, it often takes me back to isn't it in Exodus where the people of Israel were in the wilderness and they received the manna every day?
Yes, that's good. And Jesus is the new fulfiller of the manna.
Right. And they were only to take what they needed for their daily needs. And if they took more than that, it soured. And the next day, there was God's promise that it was always there for them.
Except for Friday.
Friday, yep. They took a double load.
Yeah, because there was no manna falling on Saturday. I mean, these people were crazy. When they first started, they would take double amounts Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And as you said, you know, it became rancid if it was overnight. And so when they got to Friday, they just took one. And then what happened Saturday? Talk about not listening to God.
Boy. That reminds us of us at times.
Well, speak for yourself. Which leads us... Well, I'm going to do this one. Forgive us our trespasses. Here was the question. What confession do we make with the fifth petition?
Yeah.
Forgive us our trespasses. Obviously, it's the confession that we are...
sinful.
Yes. A lot of people don't realize that. You would never ask for something. Like, you don't have a huge meal and milkshakes and all this, and then you get up to pay the bill and you, oh, please give me a drink of water. I've never heard anybody doing that because they're filled. So when you say, forgive us our trespasses, that's a confession that you are a sinner in need of the forgiveness of sins.
That's right. You know, it reminds me many years ago when when I was doing a council meeting as a young pastor, a couple of the council members got into it. I mean, they were fighting back and forth. And I kept getting ready to say something, and the chairman, being new to the congregation, the chairman said, "Don't worry, Pastor, I got to. Don't worry." Well, come the end of the meeting, he gets up and he says, "You know, we all finish with the Lord's Prayer. And given what's gone on tonight, is there any reason why we can't pray the prayer?" And nobody said anything. They went ahead and prayed.
Yeah.
The guy who had caused the disruption went around to the other side to talk to the other one and said, "I'm so sorry,
yeah,
you know, for the things that I did." And the guy said, "What are you talking about? Didn't we just pray the prayer?" He said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others."
Yeah.
It's over with.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, that's... I don't know, Trinity Orchard Farm, where I'm at, and by the way, tonight we're having a continuation of the Bible study on prophecies in the Old Testament. Right after the program, I'm going there after one stop in order to teach the youth confirmands. But they end their meetings with the Lord's Prayer, and that's the first congregation I've ever been at that did that. Did you have other congregations that did end meetings with the Lord's Prayer?
Every one of them I served. And,
really?
Yep.
Did you start that, or was it already in place?
It was already in place.
Okay.
Well, especially after that one incident that I had early on in ministry, I go, you know what, especially when it gets contentious, I always tell the story.
Well, we don't have time to hear the story. Where are you preaching Sunday?
Trinity, Manitou at 9 a.m. and 10 o'clock, 10:15 Bible class.
All righty. And God willing, we'll see you here next Thursday, and we'll continue with rumination. Tomorrow, I'll kind of finish the Lord's Prayer. God bless.
On Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.